They remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Our theme for this year is living biblically. To live biblically is to live with the reality that, in fact, Jesus Christ has been raised and is alive. And so we proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's the question. It sounds great to hear it. It even sounds good to say it, doesn't it? Gusto, and yes, the Lord is risen. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? That's living biblically, is believing and living our lives in the reality that, in fact, Jesus really is alive. If we believe that Jesus is alive, how does that reality impact our everyday lives? Does it make a difference? Do we expect him to intervene in our lives? Do we expect him to speak to us? To appear to us? How do we know that Jesus is alive? If someone were to ask you that, an unbeliever, they say, well, how do you know he's alive? You know all those stories were all made up. You could say, well, the Bible tells us that he's alive. They say, the Bible, that was written 2,000 years ago. It was a concocted story. No way that could have happened. And what's your response? The Bible says it. When I was told when I was little, that's what I was told. If that's the best we can do, I'm hoping that after today, we can do better. I'm hoping today we can do better. We need to begin by recognizing that Jesus' own disciples had a hard time believing that he really was alive. Luke's gospel, which we've been going through this year, reveals to us that Jesus told his disciples three different times that he was going to be handed into the hands of sinful men, be killed, but on the third day he would rise. In fact, in one instance, he said to them, let these words sink into your ears. Have you ever had that? A boss or somebody says, look, if you don't remember anything, remember this. Listen to this. Remember this one thing. That's what he said to them. And yet they still did not believe. We're told they did not understand the saying. Not only that, but they were afraid to ask him about it. In our reading today from Luke 24, we're told the women went to the tomb, not expecting to find a risen Christ, but expecting to anoint a dead body. And they were perplexed when they saw the empty tomb. Oh my goodness, what happened? They had forgotten what Jesus had told them. And so the angels were there, and the angels reminded them, remember when he told you in Galilee that he was going to rise from the dead. But they told these words when they believed it. They went back to the disciples, the apostles, and they told them what the angel had said. He's been risen. He's raised from the dead. The tomb's empty. And as we heard, but these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Didn't believe these crazy women with this idle tale. So Peter ran to the tomb, saw that it was empty, and went home marveling at what had happened. Mark's gospel tells us that when the women told the disciples that Jesus was alive, it says, quote, they did not believe it. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus came back and told the disciples that they had seen Jesus. And guess what their reaction was? They didn't believe them. John's gospel tells us, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Astonishingly, even when Jesus ascended to heaven, so he's been with them for 40 days. He's getting ready to ascend into heaven. He's been with them. They've seen him. We're told in Matthew 28, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That verse has always just amazed me. After all they'd been through and seen, they worshiped him, but some still doubted. Like, what's happening? What's going on? Is this real? Pinch me, you know? So what was it that made the people really believe? What was it that changed their minds and their hearts, even to the point that 11 of the 12 ended up dying for this truth, this fact? What was it? It was not a logical argument. It was not human reasoning. For the apostles, for the women at the tomb, for the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and even for Paul on the road to Damascus, the reason they believed is because they had a personal encounter with the risen Christ. A personal encounter with the risen Christ. It was not based on human reason or logical explanation, but based on a divine encounter. Similarly, in our first reading from Acts 10, we heard the story of Cornelius and his household. This was also a divine intervention. Peter was there sharing with them the story of Jesus, what he had done, and all that had been done to him. And while he was speaking these things, we're told the Holy Spirit fell upon them. I pray he's going to do that today. Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they began praising God, and just couldn't contain themselves. They were so full of this truth, of the reality of the risen Jesus Christ. And so Peter says, what can keep them from being baptized? Because they just received the Holy Spirit like we did. Remember Pentecost? He said that same thing just happened to those Gentiles. The Holy Spirit, a divine intervention. For John Wesley, he had a similar experience. John Wesley, the great theologian, the founder of what's known as the Methodist movement. Great theological understanding, but he met these Moravians on a ship going over to America, and there was a storm. And he was afraid. Everybody was afraid except these Moravians. They're just singing praises and praising God. And he's like, how do you guys do this? How can you do this? And they asked him. They said, well, do you really believe in Jesus? And he gave some pat answer. And he realized afterwards he had shamed himself. And it wasn't until a while later, he records this. He says, his heart was strangely warmed by the presence and the reality of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in his life. His heart was strangely warmed. What an experience, a divine encounter. C.S. Lewis had some kind of an experience. He was a great atheist, a great intellectual, but was an atheist. Finally came to believe in God, but he just couldn't grasp this thing about Jesus. You know, God incarnate, dying on the cross, raised from the dead, it just beyond him, he just couldn't accept it. Then he says one afternoon they were going to go to the zoo, and he gets in this vehicle, this motor car, and they go head for the zoo. He says, when I began the trip, I didn't believe in Jesus. And when I arrived at the zoo, I believed. How did that happen? Divine intervention. Similarly, with Augustine, St. Augustine, the great St. Augustine, again, a great intellectual, but who lived party life, party animal, Augustine. His mother prayed and prayed, poor Monica. Prayed and prayed. The poor boy never got to it. Never came around. But he started questioning things. And finally, one day, he heard what it sounded like a child's voice that said, take and read. That's all he heard. Take and read. He's in the backyard. Picked up his Bible and opened up to the place in Romans that led him then and there to know the reality of the risen Christ and devoted the rest of his life to proclaiming and living that reality. Another divine intervention. Remember the story of Francis of Assisi. Left his father of wealth, gave all the stuff, even the clothes on his back, walked naked away. He was led to this little church, this little chapel, torn down, broken. And he heard a voice coming from the cross. And the voice said, build my church. And he devoted the rest of his life to building the church of God, rebuilding the church of God. A divine intervention. Charles Spurgeon, another great intellectual, kind of believed, but one day he was going one place and he finally ended up, because of the weather, going into this small little church. The regular preacher wasn't there, so some lay person got up and just started expounding something. Not a learned person, nothing. But he spoke words of truth, and God touched Charles Spurgeon's heart. And he went on to become what's known as the Prince of Preachers, led great many people to the Lord because of divine intervention. John Calvin, the great reformist, referred to this as the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. That's what he called it. The inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking in my heart and telling me this stuff is true. It's real. Have we ever had an inner testimony of the Holy Spirit? Have we ever had a time where, aside from what the Bible tells us, they were just filled with a sense of his presence, a sense of his peace, hearing his voice? Some of us, I know, have said they believe they actually saw him. He came and stood by their bed. Have we ever had that testimony? Not everyone gets to have these kinds of experiences. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, "It is my sheep who hear my voice." He was confronted by the Jews, and he said to them, he says, you don't believe in me because you're not part of my flock. But my sheep hear my voice. They don't follow the voice of a stranger, but they know my voice, and they will follow me because they hear my voice, the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. Those of us who hear this voice need to respond to it. Those of us who have never heard this voice need to ask for it. As strange as it is, I wasn't raised this way. It was strange to me, and still in a sense a little bit strange. I was at our nursing home service this week, and I was sharing communion, celebrating communion there with the nursing home. What a glorious time that was, by the way. Just people, just these people, just wonderful. And I said to them, I was talking to Jesus this morning. And they're like, "Oh, really? What did he say?" And I gave them a message. But my thought is, wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the norm of the Christian life? Again, living biblically. That somebody says, "Oh, yeah, I was talking to Jesus this morning." "Oh, yeah, well, what did he tell you?" "I was talking to him too, and he told me something." "What did he tell you?" And then we share things. Coming together each Sunday, wouldn't that be something? We say, "Oh, what did Jesus say to you this week? What did he say to you?" "Oh, well, he told me this, he told me that." Of course, we always test, because the enemy can also put things into our mind. But we know when it's Jesus, because we know the voice, because we belong to him. Okay, I'm gonna try something. I've done this once before, and it's a little bold. So some of you may remember if I've done this before. But this is so important if you get it. If even one person here comes away and says, oh, I get it. Hearing the voice of God by the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. What I want to do is I want to just say a prayer. Holy Spirit, please speak to us in the name of Jesus. Let us hear your voice and only your voice. And then I want to say, Holy Spirit, please tell us who Jesus is. And then we kind of begin, Jesus is, and then we see what comes into our mind. Okay? I know it's weird. Okay? So let's close our eyes, try to meditate, and if you just follow me, if you would say to yourself, Holy Spirit, please speak to me in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, please help me to hear your voice and only your voice. Holy Spirit, please tell me who Jesus is. Jesus is. Jesus is what?
My friend.
My friend. How many of you got my friend? Couple? What else? Jesus is salvation.
Lord of my life.
Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is love.
The lover of my soul.
Jesus is Son of God. What else?
My
Father,
Redeemer,
Son of Man,
Savior,
life, Jesus is life.
Light of the world.
Jesus is the light of the world.
Prince of Peace.
Jesus is Prince of Peace.
The
What's that?
The beginning and the end.
Jesus is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. Jesus is my strength.
He's my guide.
Jesus is my guide.
He's my comforter.
My comforter.
My healer.
My healer.
My Savior.
Savior.
Salvation.
Wow. Wow. Do you think any of this is coming from the enemy? No, I don't think so either. That's the way we test it. See, is it consistent with Scripture, everything that's been said? Yes. Okay, I want to try one that's a little bit harder. I'm going to say again, Holy Spirit, please speak to us in the name of Jesus. Help us to hear your voice and only your voice. Jesus, please tell me who I am. I am. Let's see what comes. Let's see what comes. Please close our eyes. Again, just quietly to yourself. Holy Spirit, please speak to me in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, please help me to hear your voice and only your voice. Lord Jesus, please tell me who I am. I am. How many of you heard a child of God? Look at that. I did this once before and saying about half the people got that, I am a child of God. What else did someone get? A pearl of great price? What else?
His bride.
His son. My beloved. I'm sorry? The sheep of his pasture. I am the branch, you are the vine. What else?
His vessel.
Is this normal for us? I suspect not. Yet I'm telling you, we are entering into a very tumultuous time. There's a lot of bad stuff out in the world. And we need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to say to us things like, don't go on that trip, or don't get in that car, or don't get on that plane, or go here instead of there, or do this instead of doing that. If we have an illness, we need to hear the voice that says, go to this doctor, go get a second opinion, start taking this in your diet. Do you realize the world is on a financial bubble? What's happening in the European Union, what's happening in Russia, China, and the United States, our economy is doing great, but the rest of the world, this Brexit in England, all that is tumultuous. I know a lot of people say, I worry about, you know, I built up this 401k, I've got these investments, and what's going to happen to them if the stock market collapses? And we don't know what to do. And I'm like, ask Jesus. Does Jesus care about our investments? Yes, he does, I believe. Oh no, I shouldn't talk to God about money. Really? Shouldn't talk to God about money. Well, it says you can't love money and God at the same time. That's why we don't love money, because we go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do with your money? Because it belongs to him. How important is it to hear the voice of God in our lives? Pretty important. Pretty important. It is something, the more we try, the better we get. I do believe that. If there are some of us here today saying, I don't know what this guy's talking about, these people are crazy, I just, you know, turn to the Lord and ask him, Lord, is this real? And see if he speaks to you. And if you believe that God doesn't speak to his people, you need to look in the Bible at the Word of God and see the things that he tells you. My sheep hear my voice. You know what that means? That means he speaks to us. That means he speaks to us. We heard in our psalm today, the psalmist, time of David, going back 1,000 years before Jesus, I cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard me, and he spoke to me in my distress. God longs to speak to his people. That's I went to him this week, like I do. Lord, what do you want me to tell these people? He said, tell them I want to talk to them. Tell them to spend time, try to listen, because I'm trying to talk to each and every one of them. I want to guide them. I want to let them know what is best for them and what is not. And what is not. My hope and prayer is that if somebody comes to us and says, why do you believe that Jesus is alive? Instead of just saying, well, the Bible says it, that we say to them, I know he's alive because I speak to him and he speaks to me. And I sense his presence and the reality of his living life. How can they refute that? Maybe they'll tell you you're crazy anyway, okay. But I tell you, inwardly, I believe there's that seed in every person that inwardly they're going to envy us and say, boy, I wish I had a God who loved me and spoke to me. Because we need to overcome these obstacles of the unbelievers. You know, there's a parable of the seed, sowing the seed, you know, and some seed fell and it was the devil, took away the word because he seed sowed of doubt. Did God really say? Right? We've heard that. And then there's those, the time of testing comes up and people fall away. We heard that. And then there's times when we get caught up in the cares and the riches of the world and we get carried away. We don't give to God. But you know the greatest detriment of people not coming to Jesus and to accept Christianity? Christians. We don't live our faith. We take these words, and maybe we hear them on one day, but we don't take them out into the street. Monday through Saturday, are we living this word with the expectation that our God is a God who longs to speak to us and to have us hear his voice and to follow him? Is that how we live our lives? My hope is that to whatever extent we do or do not, that today would be a new beginning. I commit myself to listen, maybe spending quiet time. I find when I get in the words, I just start reading the Psalms through and all of a sudden thoughts just come into my mind. I'm sure it's different for all of us. A certain time of the day, some people are morning people, other people are night people. I get up in the middle of the night, I find it's quiet time. You know, there's just not stuff going on. It's a quiet the spirit, and I can hear the voice of God better. Little self-exposure here, I guess. You know where I hear the voice of God most? When I'm in the shower. I think there's something about running water. I don't know what it is. But I'm in the shower, and all of a sudden I'm working on a sermon or a teaching, and I'm like, what? And all of a sudden these thoughts come to me while I'm in the shower. Go figure. Who knows? But if we live our lives biblically with the reality that Jesus really is alive and we are his sheep and his sheep hear his voice, should we not expect him to be talking to us on an ongoing basis? The biblical answer is yes. Our personal experience may be, well, you know, I was never taught that. That's how I was. I was never taught this. But maybe today we can learn to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, please speak to me. We're going to do that one way here. Disciples on the road to Emmaus, and I say that each week, but I'm not sure. Something you say every week and people just get used to it, you know. But I say, in the breaking of the bread, remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Jesus was with them and they didn't recognize him. And when did they recognize him? When he broke the bread. And so I say that. I says, may our eyes be open and we see Jesus as he is known in the breaking of the bread. I hope maybe when I break the bread, maybe some people are going to, I don't know, see angels or see Jesus, whatever, I don't know. I'll leave the details to God. I just absolutely believe in divine intervention in our lives by a risen Savior who loves us. My brothers and sisters, we need this truth The kingdom of God is upon us. The time is shorter now than when we first believed. And if we listen to the voice of God, truly the best is yet to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer?